From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
One day my friend and my mother from the church was coming up the hill from her house, and I was in the back of the house singing just loudly as I could sing, and she heard me and wondered where that beautiful music was coming from. And it was coming from a five-year-old around the house playing by herself, making mud pies. And I wasn't paying it any attention because to me that was my own personal entertainment, that I could do something to, you know, to pass the time away. It wasn't like I wanted to just, I'm going to be a big star one day and I'm going to have glory. No, we didn't even have that vision. It was just something that was felt good to do. And she went back to the Baptist pastor, and she told him, you know what? That little girl right there can sing.
Legendary soul, R&B, gospel, and pop artist Candy Staton. Staton's voice is an impressive instrument of emotion and experience. She sang a first church solo at age 4 and went professional at age 12 when she joined the Jewel Gospel Trio. The group toured with C.L. Franklin, Sam Cooke, and Mahalia Jackson in the 1950s. After high school, she left music to get married and start a family. However, her brother had other ideas and dared her to go on stage at Birmingham's 2728 Club in 1968. When an impromptu take on Aretha Franklin's Do Right Woman won her a gig opening for R&B star Clarence Carter, whom she later married. Over the next 5 years, she would churn out more than a dozen Southern soul hits, such as the Grammy-nominated renditions of Stand By Your Man and In the Ghetto. Staton was crowned the First Lady of Southern Soul just as she was leaving Fame Records for Warner Brothers, and tossed off her tiara to become a disco princess with smash club hits such as the 1976 million seller Young Hearts Run Free, Victim, and Honest I Do. Staton has recently released a new CD entitled Life Happens. I'm Johnny O. Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, the legendary Candy Staton, Part 2, In Black America.
You treat me like a secret.
Show my beauty.
When I'm out with you.
When I'm out with you.
There's got to be a reason for the changes you put me through.
That you put me through.
You must be hiding something.
You must be hiding something.
You don't want me to know.
You don't want me to know.
Gotta give it to you, boy.
Yes.
You sure know how to put on a show.
You sure know how to put on a show.
Treat me like a secret.
Yes.
You treat me like a secret.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Whenever we're together, you can't keep your hands off me. You would think I'm the only one that your eyes ever see. Whenever we're in public, oh, it's a different story.
It was fine. We had been together for 20-something years, when I did the record, I did two records for EMI that didn't get released here in America, but they got released over in Europe. And when he heard the record, somebody gave him one of them, and he said, wow. He said, I think we got us another hit in us. Do you think so, Candy? I said, we might, Rick. But, you know, I'd been with David, been with all sorts of different producers and stuff, and I'd grown so much, you know, from where we were back in the 70s. I was just a kid when I first met Rick. And now I'm like all this experience, and I start thinking about how he likes to, you know, make you sing songs over and over again. I got reluctant to get it back in. I said, I ain't going through that no more. This is crazy. Rick think he gonna sing me to death this time. He can forget it. And I told him so.
Candy Staton is one of the powerful female vocalists who defined the term disco diva. She has lived a lot of musical lives. She learned early on the power of singing could have over an audience. Born Kanzetta Maria Staton on March 13, 1940 in Hansville, Alabama, she grew up in Cleveland, Ohio and Nashville, Tennessee. In Nashville, along with her sister Maggie, she attended the Jewel Christian Academy. Her vocal abilities set her apart from the crowd. the school's pastor teamed her with two sisters and a third girl to form the Jewel Gospel Trio. For stating the results was a fabulous musical education. The trio toured with gospel legends such as the Soul Stirrers, the Staple Singers, and a young Aretha Franklin. After 6 years in Nashville and on the road, Staten grew restless in her late teens and left the trio. In 1968, Staten launched a solo career that produced 16 hits and gained the title of First Lady of Southern Soul. At 74 years young, Staten has reunited with legendary producer Rick Hall of Fame Records with her 28th album entitled Life Happens. On today's program, we conclude our conversation.
I said, fasting? He said, yeah. Well, you know, I know Ashton and Simpson did it. You know, right. They fasted for their hit records.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was fasting. And I believe that's why God has allowed this song to stay around all this. That was a big sacrifice.
It sure was.
For that song, you know. And it's big in Europe. It's never stopped being played. He said, I'm going to write you something that's going to last you forever. And he did.
Did you all record the song at Muscle Shoals?
No, we were in L.A.
You were in L.A.?
Uh-huh, we were in L.A. I had to fly to L.A. and to get out there to in one of the studios Warner Brothers had prepared for us. And because they're promotion people and they're, you know, they were like there every day we were doing the music. And they were just overwhelmed, you know, at the music that was coming from David and me. And I did that song with one take, John. I was reading it.
I know that's right. Now, you went from the church to disco,
mm-hmm.
and then back to the church. What drew you back to the church after your secular career?
A lot of times when you grow up in a home, there are certain principles and there are certain things that you learn
mm-hmm.
during your upbringing. And people back in that day, the day of my mother, when my mother came up, nobody read the Bible too much.
Okay.
If they could read it all.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to listen to what was coming from the pulpit. And a lot of these men of God were not versed and to really know how to dig deep into the Word of God in order to bring a relevant message as what God actually meant when he said certain things. You know, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. They didn't even know that kind of thing. They just took it literally, you know. So there were always this divide between secular and gospel music. They always felt like if you sung secular music, you were going to hell. Because that's what was taught in the pulpit. If you sing the devil's music, they called it the devil's music. So I went along with that, and I just kind of like, it was like a given. You know, just that's just something you don't do. And when I got up and I got out, I was in rebellion when I went to secular music because I was just starting a revolution. You know, I was just mad because at the pastor, mad at being used, mad at everybody in church, called them all hypocrites. I hate all y'all. You know what? Y'all, okay, I'm going here. Well, I'm going to hell then, okay? I'm just going to hell. Just, it's my hell. I'm going to it. I mean, I got really adamant about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but God's going to kill you. Well, he's just going to have to do it because I'm not sitting here listening to this rhetoric you guys are putting in my head. So am I in rebellion? Yeah, I'm in rebellion. So that's how I left the church, rebellious. And then back in the 80s, back in the early 80s, I got to reading the Bible for myself, and I got to seeing things in a different light. I'm like, what's wrong with young hearts run free? It's not an older woman telling young kids don't get pregnant before you get married. Now, what's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. Stand by your man. What's wrong with that? I'm singing a song called In the Ghetto,
mm-hmm.
which is life and what actually happens. People rap about it every day. We live it every day. We see everything happening in the ghetto. But we gonna condemn me because I sing about it? You look at, just for an example, I was enlightened to this, but look at this. You got pastors now doing movies about the same things that I sing about in my music. Everything. You got Tyler Perry. He's like, you know, my dear goes to jail. We got all of these things, and flocks of Christians just flock there to see all these movies and stuff. You got infidelities, and you got, you know, lots of stuff, the things that I sing about in my music. And in the sight of God, there is no difference. It's just the sight of man. And we have judged each other, and we need to stop judging, because you don't understand my gift and what God has put in me to portray to the world. You need to leave it alone, because that's what God put in me. I'm going to have to stand before a just God one day and give an account of the gifts that I didn't do that he gave me. I go out on these stages now. The difference is from the 70s to now when I do these secular shows in Europe is I bring Jesus in. They out there jumping, and all, I have them all praising God. 50,000 of them jumping up and down praising God. So I bring the message subtly. The Bible says you got to be wise to win souls. Everybody can't be in church to win a soul. Most souls that's not saved don't want no parts of church.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be wise. He says, be wise as serpents and humble as doves. God sends us on missions in order to do. He says, some plant, some water, and I give the increase. Some people ain't even ever heard of the name of Jesus. Some people would never go to church. But suddenly, I go in and I spread the gospel. And plus, I have a lifestyle that people see. When I got saved, John, I got saved. I got really saved. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't be around people that do. I don't go out. I don't commit adultery, fornication. I live a very clean life. I live a life of the Ten Commandments in my daily living. But I sing life songs. I show people life songs. I sing these songs because there are people going through these problems, even as we speak now. You know, so that's what took me back to once I started seeking God for myself and finding out his will for my life, he told me, you're going back, and you're going to get some of those people that you sent out there. And that's what I'm doing. That's my mission.
No, that's right. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. And we're speaking with the legendary First Lady of Southern Soul, Candy Staton. And speaking of life, your new CD is entitled Life Happens.
Yes.
Nice CD.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And before we talk about other songs on the CD, it seems like you had a divine feeling for the song Have You Seen the Children?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that song was written many years ago, but I kind of revised it
mm-hmm.
for this album because of Trayvon Martin
okay.
and his tragedy and other young men that are being bullied and shot by the police and other people just coming up, you know, and because of this law, you know, that they have in Florida, Stand Your Ground, and it gives them an excuse to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so angry. I really did. I got so angry. I revised that song. I'm putting this song on this album because it don't make sense for the kids. Where are they? Have you seen the children lately, John? Where are the children? They don't do like we used to do when we were growing up. They're not kids anymore. These babies, 5 years old, they can shake their behinds just like Beyonce. I mean, and they're wearing the clothes and they're getting abducted. And folks, you didn't see all that junk when I was growing up.
No,
where
didn't.
Are the children? Have you seen them lately? They grown at 3 and 5 and 10 years old, having babies at 12. Where are the children? They've gone. And it's because of social media. And it's because parents will not stand up and be parents. They're kids. The kids are telling the parents what to do. Shut up, mama. You know? If I had said, shut up, mama, she would have slapped me in the next Wednesday.
You'll be getting up.
I'd be finding myself waking up somewhere. I didn't know where I was.
Another song that I felt your heart and soul into was mm-hmm. 3 Minutes to a Relapse.
Ooh. You should hear the long version. That's the short version.
Mm-hmm.
I did some rapping on the long version. My God, you know, after going through the kind of divorce and marriage that I just came through
mm-hmm.
with all the abuse, with the name calling, with the strip clubs and with the porn and all of the stuff. I used to walk into my house and he'd have every TV on here with the porn on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I can't deal with this. And I had to leave that situation because I'm not going to. there are a lot of abused women out there that have to stay in their situations because they don't have resources to get out. That's not me. And I'm not bragging about it. I'm just thankful for it, that I could be a tragedy. I could be a statistic right now had I not left, because it was getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm like, look, you're going to have to leave. He said, I'm not leaving. I said, well, I'm going to leave. I'm leaving you. I ain't dealing with this no more. And then I left the house, you know, and I got a real big house, 8,000 square feet. I had to move all my furniture out the house because he didn't have any. And he's a well-known baseball player, and I'm not going to call his name. But he had plenty of money. He was a multimillionaire and took it, you know, snorted it all up and smoked it all away and crack. So he was back on crack, okay? And I did not know that when I married him because he straightened his life out. But it, like, when I got married to him, we were getting ready to open up a home for guys getting people out of jail. You know, it wasn't a halfway house. It was a recovery program. And the judge had signed off on it. I mean, and the governor had signed off on it. And so I thought we were getting ready to go into real business until he went and flip-flopped on me. And I'm like, you know what? They can think what they want to think, but I'm out of here. Call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm not going to sit here and be walked on like a rug. Y'all call me whatever. You know, and so I got out of that. And the divorce, the judge gave me back my home. And so I had to move all my 8,000 square feet worth of furniture back in this house. But I did not mind. When it comes down to saving my life, I'll go the extra mile because I have that will to live.
I told you not to mess with me when we first started this. I told you I'd been through a lot and life that left. I even told you when it comes to love, ooh, I don't play. I even told you I get a little crazy when I'm treated this way. Oh, but you lied, and I know you cheated. I've got the proof. You pushed me to the limit this time. Just cross the line. I'm about
3 minutes to
well, you sure messed up this time. I'm about
3 minutes.
Well, I'm showing you the door. Don't look back as you leave. I don't wanna see you no more. Ooh.
Why was it important for you to do this project?
Because I was going through this stuff. Do you see how it's, look how it's put on the record.
Mm-hmm.
First you start out with the good times, even down to eternity. You know, you get married.
Right.
And then the bad times, even the bad times, you go through stuff. But if you're in love and you care, if the bad times are good, then it stops for a minute and give you a breath. And then it goes on to she's after your man.
Right.
And after that, we talk about all of the bad stuff that happened to me personally. I ain't talking about nobody else but me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to catch on to me and you're going through my same problems, then this record's for you. So, yeah, I think it would be a great cleansing to get it, just if you don't get it for nothing but to listen to it. And I know one thing it did for me, it was like therapy.
Okay.
When I was doing it. I got a whole lot of built up, you know, frustrations and pain and everything out through that record, through some of the songs that I was singing, like Where Were You When You Knew?
Right.
You know, those kind of songs, Go Baby Go, Give Me a Minute, I Need to Cry. You know, real things that women and people go through when they're going through difficult situations. I needed to cry and scream and maybe get on the rug and eat a few of the carpets and all that kind of stuff and roll over and act crazy and then get up and say, now, it's all out, so go, baby. I can get along without you.
No, that's right.
And then I'm, you know, after they gone, sure, you're going to miss them. You know, when you get lonely and stuff, you think about things that you did together that weren't all that bad. But they were, you miss people for a while, and then you say, well, I like where I'm at. I'm back centered, and I'm back in my core now, and I like it. Maybe I had to go through those things to teach myself a lesson. Maybe God had to send me that route in order for me to wake up one morning and find out who I really am.
When you listen to some of your songs from the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and you listen to this particular CD,
mm-hmm.
You haven't lost a beat. What's the secret to the blessing?
Oh, my God. I guess it's just who I am, John. I was raised in Alabama, and I heard three types of music. That was gospel, that was rhythm and blues, and it was country.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was embedded in me, even as a little girl, like as a child. I developed my style around those three genres of music.
And you got a little bit of each on the CD.
Absolutely. I guess that's just who I am. You know, when you listen to Gladys and you listen to Shaka, they just Shaka and Gladys. Whatever they sing, they're going to be that. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's just
mm-hmm.
their style. Al Green, you know him anywhere.
Right.
You know, when James Brown was alive, you knew his style. You knew nobody had to tell you that was James Brown on the radio. You just knew it,
exactly.
You know. So that was his brand, and that's my brand.
What was it like working with Rick Hall again?
It was fine. We had been together for 20-some years, when I did the record, I did two records for EMI that didn't get released here in America, but they got released over in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And when he heard the record, somebody gave him one of them, and he said, wow. He said, I think we got us another hit in us. Do you think so, Candy? I said, we might, Rick. But, you know, I'd been with David, been with all sorts of different producers and
right.
stuff, and I'd grown so much, you know, from
mm-hmm.
where we were back in the 70s. I was just a kid when I first met Rick.
Right.
And now I'm like, all this experience, and I start thinking about how he likes to, you know, make you sing songs over and over again. I got reluctant to get it back in. I said, I ain't going through that no more. This is crazy. Rick think he gonna sing me to death this time. He can forget it. And I told him so. I said, I know you don't have to tell me how to sing now. I said, I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just, as long as we can keep it real. We got in there and we picked out some songs and we put down four songs. We didn't put all four on this record, but we got one more in the can.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully one day we can put that on another record. But it was fun working with Rick. It was fun. We had a great time, especially with John Paul White and Jason Isbell on the first song.
Right.
It took it Americana. So we're getting a lot of country play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you are a part of the documentary on Muscle Shoals, The Sound Studio.
Yes. Isn't that amazing? That was just like when we got ready to do our project.
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't have been in it if we hadn't been doing a project together. So,
right place, right time.
Right time, right place, right. I went up to Muscle Shoals to put the start, the recording. And
mm-hmm.
Rick called me up about a week before. He says, we're going to be doing some shooting in the studio. We got the movie company coming down.
Mm-hmm.
For this documentary, will that bother you? I says, no, Rick, it won't bother me. Not at all, because I've done 25 years for TV, and I'm used to little red lights, you know, and I'm used to cameras. And then, I mean, he didn't know how familiar I was with TV and cameras and stuff. They don't
mm-hmm.
bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I can just go and do what I need to do, and, you know, I forget they're there. And that's what happened during the session, and I just happened to be there. And when I got there, cameras was everywhere, production crew, trucks, everything out front. And I mean, it was amazing. But I was able to be a part of that movie, and I thank God that the timing was absolutely right. I was supposed to be in that movie.
Any words of wisdom, pearls of knowledge you want to pass on to our listeners?
Yeah, I do. They need to just, if you know that you have a calling and you have a gift, don't allow people to talk you out of it. I don't care how old you are. You know, if that's something you want to do, you pursue it. You got social media now. You don't have to depend on record labels to sign you. You can sign yourself. make your own record, put it up on iTunes, and even on social media, do something on Facebook. Before you know it, you might be a sensation somewhere. So you don't ever let people talk you out of what you need to do. Family will do it. Friends will do it. Girl, you too old, boy. You need to go somewhere and find a job. But you keep doing exactly what God has called you to do. There's a gift in you. There is a champion in you. And don't allow anyone to tell you there's not. God never put one of us on this earth without provision. Provision means before vision. He's got something already there for you, and you have to seek it and try to find it for yourself. And when you do, you will know it, and it will be successful.
Any final comments?
You know what? I pray that you go out and buy this record. I pray this is our first project for our first project on the secular side for our record label. We've had it for over 30 years. Go out and support it because we're going to be giving back to abused people. We're going to start a home for abused folks, you know, women that need to get away from abuse. We're going to start a ministry for that, and we've already started doing some work on it. And go out and buy it. With some of the proceeds will be going to that home.
My heart on empty,
on empty
since you've been gone. My heart on empty,
on empty
since you've been gone. When I go around my brain, I just don't seem to get in. I'm so used to being with you. I feel so lost, I don't know what to do. My
heart
stays on empty,
on empty
since you've been gone. Oh, honey, my heart is on empty.
On empty.
Legendary soul, R&B, gospel, and pop artist, Candy Staton. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.